Well, as we start this new sermon series entitled A View from the Top, I have some bad news for you. I've got some bad news because Pastor Rob will be on his sabbatical soon. I think they're finishing up at the General Conference, and they'll be traveling soon. So that means that you are stuck with me. You're stuck. So if you want to leave now, no hard feelings. You clap now, but I'm letting you know, I get emotional, I'm loud, I clap. So if that bothers you, you have to hold on for the next couple months. Have to hold on. So listen, let me pray for you today. Let me pray for you. God, we're grateful for a space that we can bring ourselves and all of who we are and all that you've called us to be. God, I'm humbled every time I stand before your people. I don't always get it right. I stutter. I've got my own stuff I deal with, but only because of your grace and mercy that any of us could stand in your presence. And so we pray right now for Pastor Rob, as you give him time to just step away, pour back into him what he graciously pours back out into so many of us. We're grateful for the opportunity to sit in your presence today because, God, I know that you not only hear the prayers that we have on our hearts, but I know the prayers that we have in our souls, God, that only you can answer. And so we stand on the hope and prayer that when the word goes out, it shall not come back void. For this is our hope and prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, as I said before, in just a few days, Pastor Rob and Susan will begin their sabbatical heading to the base camp of Mount Everest. And I think they're heading to the Alps and Mount Blanc. And I believe they're ending their time in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. But a portion of the grant that he got from the Lilly Foundation included a congregational component. This means that we also have some work to do. Somebody say we. Say we. We have some work to do. So we are also going to share in his journey by going to the mountains ourselves, because I think sometimes it takes getting to a higher ground to see the entire picture or gain a greater perspective of our lives. And I think it's a fitting and timely journey because mountains held a significant role in the Bible. God often used mountains as a place of divine connection. People were known to have these intense encounters with God and their faith experiences on these mountains. They worshiped on mountains. They built altars on mountains. Miracles happened on mountains. In fact, mountains are mentioned over 500 times in the Bible. Think about it. Jesus was transfigured where? On a mountain. Jesus gave one of his best sermons. It wasn't in church. It was where? On a mountain. The Ten Commandments, how they were supposed to live their lives. Moses got the Ten Commandments on a mountain. Mountains became these prized destinations for people wanting to have a transcendent experience with God because it gave them perspective. Now, let me get this out of the way early. We are not going to be climbing any mountains physically. In fact, I've learned that since I've reached the age of 40, I don't do heights very well. However, there might be some other opportunities and other mountains for us to climb on our spiritual journeys. In fact, the authors of the book Adaptive Leadership, they used a term called spending time on the mountain. They used the term to illustrate how leaders need to figuratively step away or head to the balcony in the midst of their workplace or day-to-day experience, because getting on the balcony means stepping away from the action and observing the system and the patterns and the trends and the opportunities, observing where they are. So that's essentially what we're going to do in this next series, is just, we're just getting on the mountain. Now, we don't always have the luxury of traveling thousands of miles to gain a greater perspective, but we will meet some well-known characters and the mountains that define their faith, because what they learned still has profound impact on our lives today. So as we navigate the terrain of our own faith experiences, we meet today on Mount Ararat. It's not a location that's well known, but the story is quite familiar. You've probably heard it before. So how do we get to Mount Ararat? The story really starts in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 when we see this creative God affirming the qualities and the potential of God's creation, so much so that everything God creates, God says, it's good. The sky, the land, the earth, it's good. Humanity, it's good. And they are off to a great start. But by the time they get to chapter 7, God's heart is so broken, God is so frustrated, God is so disappointed with humanity that he wants to start over and press the reset button. However, God decides to save a remnant. He calls a man named Noah and his family to build an ark that will keep them safe during the flood. And months after months of being in the ark, the water recedes and the boat comes to rest on the mountains of Ararat. So maybe for them and for us, Mount Ararat becomes a place of second chances or new beginnings. Ararat gives them a different perspective on the possibilities of new beginnings, because while the sentiment of the floods can be quite intimidating and even confusing, and I get it, it's a hopeful reminder that life is full of restarts and second chances and the ability to start fresh again. And yet most people only prioritize this at the start of the year. Think about it. January 1 comes around and we are ready to become new people. We even pay for certain plans so that we can become new. And then around January 7th, around January 8th, we no longer have the conversations anymore. Why? Because the grind starts, the calendar fills up, and we get so caught up in the day-to-day that we no longer prioritize those areas in our lives that we need to start fresh again, or those that need a second chance. But what if we created more opportunities to have these conversations? What if we got on the mountain to get the perspective that we need? Because life is full of second chances and life is full of opportunities to start fresh again, but we don't take advantages of the grace when it's offered. And often starting over or starting again is the last option and not the first one. In fact, let me prove it to you. How many of you have some kind of electronical device with you or at home? 100%, right? Now watch it. How many of you have ever had any of these devices malfunction, stall, crash, or get to the place where you don't know how to use it? I'm batting 100, right? So normally we get to the point where whatever is going on, we need a professional opinion, because whatever is wrong with it, it is beyond our experience or expertise. So we either call for help or we stand in a long line in order for somebody to help us with this electronical device that is malfunctioned and no longer working properly. And after we stood in a long line, a waiter on the other end of a phone call, somebody who's the expert comes along with all of these degrees and all of these experiences, and they ask us what? Yeah, have you restarted? You waited all of this time. You stood in that long line. And they asked you, in order to troubleshoot your problem, did you restart your device? And normally, all we had to do was restart or reboot or press the reset button, and that would have ended some of the problems that we had before. I wonder if there are places in our own lives that need a restart or refresh. But normally it's our last option. instead of understanding that sometimes maybe that's our first approach. I mean, it's a critical question. Are there areas in our lives that are not working well? And if they're not working well, what is preventing us from getting it a fresh start? What is preventing us from starting again? Maybe what we find on the mountains of Ararat is the invitation to restart, to refresh, to retool, and to reboot. I mean, this is a place that God wants to give humanity a second chance, because God is frustrated, God is disappointed, and God is brokenhearted. And yet God brings them to a place where they can start again. Here's the good news and what this means for us. This means that through the grace of God, we always have the power to change. I know it doesn't always seem like that. I know it always doesn't feel like that. Because sometimes where we are and where we think God is calling us to be, there seems such a gap. But Ararat is a reminder that regardless of how bad things get, there's always a possibility to refresh and to restart. But maybe it should be our first option and not our last. But the problem is that new beginnings don't happen overnight. And it feels like that sometimes, but look at how long it took them. I mean, this conversation did not begin on Mount Ararat. God shows up in Noah's life before the flood arrives and invites him to start building what will eventually keep them safe. There's no rain, there's no warning, and yet they build. And when the flood arrives, Noah is sequestered inside of the ark for approximately several months, and some suggest possibly up to a year. And that's a long time to wait for the waters to recede. That's a long time for things to get better. That's a long time to start again. That's a long time to refresh something. That's a long time even on the best of ships. Can I prove it? After my last vacation, I confess I have been stalking cruise ships. I've joined Facebook groups. And there is one that just came out called the Icon of the Seas. I see you've been stalking them too, right? Now, it may not be the largest, but it is one of the largest cruise ships right now, and it has everything for everybody. Yeah. Woo! Look good, don't it? Hey, look good, don't it? Look good. I mean, look at all the bright lights and the slide. I mean, they got a water park with seven swimming pools and six water slides. And it includes the tallest waterfall and the water slide on any cruise. I mean, they've got diving shows and live music every night. I mean, they've got an ice skating show where you're ice skating in the middle of the sea. Somebody say, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm telling you, they've got a beach-themed carousel for families with young children. They got sports bars and arcades, and they got eight different neighborhoods with one resembling Central Park. You don't got to go to New York. You just got to go to the Icon of the Seas, and you can be in the middle of Central Park. Yeah. Now you see why I've been stalking them for months. But with all of the amenities and the pools, the slides, the shows, the dining experiences, they do not offer cruise ships for an extended length of time. Only a limited amount of days. All of the slides and the skins and the arcades and the foods and the shops, they only offer limited experiences, because they know that for the average person, even when you are in the best circumstance, waiting is hard. They know that even if they give you the best, sooner or later, the days are going to get long. And the weeks are going to get long, and the months are going to get long, because even when you are in a great place, waiting can be hard. Even when you are in a perfect circumstance, waiting can get hard. Waiting can be hard in any situation. And Noah is in this position. He is in this position for days and weeks and months, and some suggest up to a year. But he has no slides. He has no arcades. He has no Central Park. All he has is time. But maybe time is a valuable commodity when we are starting over. Because the time we spend in between the chapters and changes of our lives is not in vain. In fact, many people give up on the possibilities of second chances and new beginnings because of the frustration that's associated with the in-between time. It's why people dread starting over, because it takes too much time. It's not just flipping a page or turning a switch. We don't mind if the time in between injury and healing is immediate, but second chances and new beginnings are not just decisions you make in your life, but sometimes second chances and new beginnings, they are seasons. I mean, they are journeys, they are months, they are years. In fact, think about one area of your life that you would love to for God to give you a restart or a refresh. The good news is that it's possible and available through the work of God, but the bad news is that it's not going to happen overnight. The very place that you might want God to touch or change or transform in your life, it might take some time. I mean, fixing a credit score, a financial situation takes time. Starting over after a relationship or marriage, it takes time. Grief, it takes time. Finding a church where you belong, sometimes it takes people months and years. Becoming a better spouse, becoming a better partner, becoming a better friend, growing as a leader, healing takes time. So don't get discouraged with time. Don't think for one second that your time is wasted. That's why God asked Noah to build an ark, because God wanted Noah to fully be prepared for the long journey of waiting. And it doesn't always feel like this, but God has fully prepared you and given you the things that you need for the journey ahead. It may not be a slide, it may not be a park, it may not be all of the bells and whistles, but God has given you divine patience to withstand some of the periods of waiting that may occur in your life. That's why time is a valuable commodity. Because with time, it gives us perspective. I can imagine for Noah and for so many of us, the fear is that we're starting from scratch. That's why we're so fearful of new beginnings, because some of them feel like we're starting from scratch, and second chances feel like we are starting completely over, and there's been a flood for months. It feels like there's nothing left. Seems like he has to start now from the beginning. It feels like Noah has to start from the ground up. And that's why for many people, they don't even want second chances. And that's why starting over seems so dreadful, because it feels like after all the time we have put into something or someone, it feels like now we've got to start over from ground zero. But that's the illusion. That's the lie that we tell ourselves, because this time is different. This time we are starting with experience and perspective. This time around is an opportunity to learn from their mistakes. One writer that was responding to the book Adaptive Leadership put it like this: by intentionally stepping back from the fray and gaining a broader perspective, leaders, people like us, can transcend the immediate challenges and embrace a more holistic view of their organization, team, or community. Ultimately, dedicating time on the balcony becomes essential for self-improvement and a powerful strategy to catalyze positive change and drive meaningful progress in an ever-evolving world. What kind of progress or what kind of improvement did they suggest? Self-improvement. Getting on the mountain is an opportunity to make necessary adjustments that we need to make in our lives, because God is gracious enough to give us opportunities to self-correct on a mountain, not in public. God loves us enough. God loves you enough to give you space to do some hard work in your life, for us to work out some of the kinks, for us to mold and for us to grow and for us to be shaped. And God is gracious enough to allow the work to happen away from the spotlight and the eyes of others. That's why you need to get on a mountain every so often, so that we have space to self-correct instead of self-correcting in the public eyes of people. But God is gracious enough to give us space. But it's only helpful if you use it. Because humanity is getting another chance, but it's at the expense of so much loss. Are you still with me? It's at the expense of so much loss. It's at the expense of so much grief. I mean, let's not judge, because for many of us, the only motivator for making adjustments is when we suffer extreme loss. We see it all the time with entertainers and household names, from the Robert Downey Jr.'s to the Tiger Woods and everyday people in between that have these amazing comeback stories. And I love an amazing comeback story. They make for great movies. They make for great podcasts. I mean, rising from addiction, rising from the ashes, rising from the grave. Right? I love it. But God's power of redemption is just as powerful and meaningful without us losing everything. So here's the question we must ask ourselves on the mountain. How much would we have to lose in order to be receptive to change? Because ARAD wasn't just a chance to try harder, but to make adjustments. The reason why many people are never able to experience the lasting change and the second chances that God so freely offers us is not because we don't want to, but because we haven't identified the necessary adjustments needed for things to actually change in our lives. So maybe another critical question is, if God gave me another chance, what would I do differently? If God gave me another chance, what would I do differently? Because we have to ask ourselves, and maybe Noah or humanity had to ask themselves on Mount Ararat, where did we go wrong? As a parent, where did we go wrong? As a spouse, as a friend, where did we go wrong? As a United Methodist Church, where did we go wrong? But remember, there's been a flood for several months. And it's rained for several days, and they've actually been on Mount Ararat for quite some time. But as the waters begin to recede, sooner or later, they have to face a new reality. Sooner or later, as the waters recede, they've got to walk out and face this new beginning that God has graciously given unto them. And it's going to be new. Somebody say new. But it's also going to be messy. Remember, they've been rain and floods. And if you've been in Indianapolis after it rained a flood, it ain't a pretty sight. Anywhere for that matter. Because we fall prey to the mirage of second chances and new beginnings. We paint this picture in our minds that when we step out of the boat, when we step out of the ark, when we step out into new beginnings, the sun will be shining. We think as the water recedes, it will wash away all of our problems, that things will be better than it was before. The skies will be clear. The birds will be chirping. The trees will be bearing fruit. But that's not always how new beginnings work. Sometimes you have to remember, it's been raining for weeks and flooded for months. So sometimes second chances are going to be messy. But that is the reality of the life and how God operates, because there is no such thing as a perfect second chance or new beginning. Every season comes with its own mess. Let me say it. Every season comes with its own mess. We just have to determine that we are willing to deal with the mud, muck, and mire of this season. But the reason why Noah can step into this messy and new situation is because of what he's been gifted along the way. In fact, can I prove it? In fact, last week I ran into Pastor Rob, and he was wearing like this light. He was wearing like this light on his head, and it looked like, you know the thing the Ghostbusters used to wear? You know, it was like It was like one of those lights he was wearing on his head. But it said that somebody in the congregation had gifted this to him so that he could use when he was on the mountain. And then as a congregation, you know, he was gifted a gift in service last week, also presented by our SPRC committee, and gave him like one of those James Bond watches. You know, it had like the internal GPS, and, you know, it would tell him his elevation. It would remind him of his oxygen level and his heart rate. And if he needed to make an emergency phone call, or if he needed to put on a special suit, there'd be a special suit that come out the watch. And that would, I mean, it was, you know, it was, that's just what I imagined that the watch would do, right? I mean, it was a great gift. But watch this. You all were strategic enough to give him the gifts before he got on the mountain. You all were strategic enough to give him what he needed to make it through his experiences before he got there. Because it's all for naught if you wait till he gets to the base camp of Mount Everest and then try to give him what he needs. You almost missed it. You gave him what he needed before he got there. And maybe that's what Noah had learned in his experience, because long before he ever steps out of the doors of Mount Ararat, he had learned and picked up some things he needed along the way. Long before Noah ever comes to Mount Ararat, he already had it what he needed. I mean, when the flood came, he didn't look at the weather. He just learned how to trust God along the way. And when the floods came, the same God that told him about the flood was the same God that he trusted when he was in the middle of the flood and was trapped into an ark. It was the same God that he was trusting when he was atop of Mount Ararat, wondering what this new beginning was going to be. And by the time he walks out of those doors, he had enough trust in God because of what happened prior in his life. He realized that the same God he trusted to build, the same God he trusted in the flood, the same God he trusted at the days and months and weeks, the same God that brought him and kept him then would be the same God that would keep him through this new experience. You may not know this, but God has already gifted you with what you need to make it through your new season. It is not something that you've got to get. It is something that God has already given you. God is not going to open up the doors of a new season without giving you everything that you already need. Because there's some mountains we climb by grit. There's some mountains we climb by grit, and we get there because of our endurance. But they got to Mount Ararat by grace. Every new beginning, every Ararat we experience is a reminder of God's possibilities of new beginnings, and every Mount Ararat that you experience in your life, every opportunity for a second chance, every opportunity for a fresh start, every opportunity God gives us to make it right and to make it better is a reminder that God is not through with us yet. God is not through with us yet. Won't you pray with me? God, is such a simple phrase, but sometimes we don't believe it. Sometimes as we're standing in possibilities of our lives, we don't even see a second chance. We don't see the possibilities of starting over or starting again, and we've just resigned ourselves to where we are currently in our lives. But maybe there's some young person that needs to be reminded that as they continue to grow and learn throughout life, that there's always an opportunity to start again, to start fresh. There's nothing that they can do where you won't give them an opportunity to experience a second chance. Because God, some of us who have grown in years understand that you don't just give second chances, but you give third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth. Some of us have expended the possibilities of a numerical order. Because your grace is infinite. And we wouldn't be here without it. We wouldn't be here without the possibilities of second chances, fresh starts, and new beginnings. For this is our prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.